I-4, Last Legion.
So, what kind of spren is it?
Thude asked, to the slow rhythm of curiosity. He held up the gemstone, peering in at the smoky creature moving about inside.
Storm spren, my sister says,
Eshanai replied, as she leaned against the wall, arms folded. The strands of Thude's beard were tied with bits of raw gemstone that shook and twinkled as he rubbed his chin. He held the large cut gemstone up to Bila, who took it and tapped it with her finger. They were a war pair of Eshonai's own personal division. They dressed in simple garments that were tailored around the chitinous armor plates on their arms, legs, and chests. Thude also wore a long coat, but he wouldn't take that to battle. Eshanai, by contrast, wore her uniform, tight red cloth that stretched over her natural armor, and a cap on her skull plate. She never spoke of how that uniform imprisoned her, felt like manacles that tied her in place.
A storm spren, Bila said to the rhythm of skepticism as she turned the stone over in her fingers.
Will it help me kill humans? Otherwise, I don't see why I should care.
This could change the world, Bila, Eshanai said. If Venli is right, and she can bond with this spren and come out with anything other than dull form, well, at the very least, we will have an entirely new form to choose. At the greatest, we will have power to control the storms and tap their energy.
So, she will try this personally?
Thude asked, to the rhythm of winds, the rhythm that they used to judge when a high storm was near.
If the five give her permission.
They were to discuss it and make their decision today.
That's great, Bila said. But will it help me kill humans?
Eshanai attuned mourning.
If storm form is truly one of the ancient powers, Bila, then yes, it will help you kill humans. Many of them.
Good enough for me, then, Bila said. Why are you so worried?
The ancient powers are said to have come from our gods.
Who cares? If the gods would help us kill those armies out there, then I'd swear to them right now.
Don't say that, Bila, Eshanai said to reprimand. Never say anything like that.
The woman quieted, tossing the stone onto the table. She hummed softly to skepticism. That walked the line of insubordination. Eshanai met Bila's eyes and found herself softly humming to resolve. Thude glanced from Bila to Eshanai.
Food?
He asked.
Is that your answer to every disagreement?
Eshanai asked, breaking her song.
It's hard to argue with your mouth full, Thude said.
I'm sure I've seen you do just that, Bila said, many times.
The arguments end happy, though, Thude said, because everyone is full. So, food?
Fine, Bila said, glancing at Eshanai.
The two withdrew. Eshanai sat down at the table feeling drained. When had she started worrying if her friends were insubordinate? It was this horrid uniform. She picked up the gemstone, staring into its depths. It was a large one, about a third the size of her fist, though gemstones didn't have to be large to trap a spren inside. She hated trapping them. The right way was to go into the high storm with the proper attitude, singing the proper song to attract the proper spren. You bonded it in the fury of the raging storm and were reborn with a new body. People had been doing this from the arrival of the first winds. The listeners had learned that capturing spren was possible from the humans, then had figured out the process on their own. A captive spren made the transformation much more reliable. Before, there had always been an element of chance. You could go into the storm wanting to become a soldier, and come out a mate instead. This is progress, Eshanai thought, staring at the little smoky spren inside the stone.
Progress is learning to control your world, put up walls to stop the storms, choose when to become a mate. Progress was taking nature and putting a box around it. Eshonai pocketed the gemstone and checked the time. Her meeting with the rest of the five wasn't scheduled until the third movement of the Rhythm of Peace, and she had a good half a movement until then. It was time to speak with her mother. Eshonai stepped out into Narak and walked along the path, nodding to those who saluted. She passed mostly soldiers. So much of their population wore war form these days, their small population. Once there had been hundreds of thousands of listeners scattered across these plains. Now a fraction remained. Even then, the listeners had been a united people. Oh, there had been divisions, conflicts, even wars among their factions, but they had been a single people, those who had rejected their gods and sought freedom in obscurity. Bila no longer cared about their origins. There would be others like her, people who ignored the danger of the gods and focused only on the fight with the humans. Eshonai passed dwellings, ramshackle things constructed of hardened creme over frames of shell, huddled in the leeward shadow of lumps of stone. Most of those were empty now. They'd lost thousands to war over the years. We do have to do something, she thought, attuning the rhythm of peace in the back of her mind. She sought comfort in its calm, soothing beats, soft and blended, like a caress. Then she saw the dull forms. They looked much like what the humans called parshmen, though they were a little taller and not nearly as stupid. Still, dull form was a limiting form, without the capacities and advantages of newer forms. There shouldn't have been any here. Had these people bonded the wrong spren by mistake? It happened sometimes. Eshonai strode up to the group of three, two femalen and one malen. They were hauling rock buds harvested on one of the nearby plateaus, plants which had been encouraged to grow quickly by use of stormlight-infused gems. What is this? Eshonai asked. Did you choose this form in error? Or are you new spies? They looked at her with insipid eyes. Eshonai attuned anxiety. She'd once tried dull form. She'd wanted to know what their spies would suffer. Trying to force concepts through her brain had been like trying to think rationally while in a dream. Did someone ask you to adopt this form? Eshonai said, speaking slowly and clearly.
Nobody asked it, the Malan said to no rhythm at all. His voice sounded dead. We did it.
Why? Eshonai said. Why would you do this?
Humans won't kill us when they come, the Malan said, hefting his rock bud and continuing on his way.
The others joined him without a word. Eshonai gaped, the rhythm of anxiety strong in her mind. A few fear spren like long purple worms dove in and out of the rock nearby, collecting toward her until they crawled up out of the ground around her. Forms could not be commanded. Every person was free to choose for themselves. Transformations could be cajoled and requested, but they could not be forced. Their gods had not allowed this freedom, so the listeners would have it, no matter what. These people could choose dull form if they wished. Eshonai could do nothing about it, not directly. She hastened her pace. Her leg still ached from her wound, but was healing quickly. One of the benefits of war form. She could almost ignore the damage at this point. A city full of empty buildings, and Eshonai's mother chose a shack on the very edge of the city, almost fully exposed to the storms. Mother worked her shale bark rose outside, humming softly to herself to the rhythm of peace. She wore work form. She'd always preferred it. Even after nimble form had been discovered, Mother had not changed. She had said she didn't want to encourage people to see one form as more valuable than another.
that such stratification could destroy them. Wise words. The type Eshonai hadn't heard out of her mother in years.
Child, Mother said as Eshonai approached. Solid, despite her years, Mother had a neat, round face and wore her hair strands in a braid tied with a ribbon. Eshonai had brought her that ribbon from a meeting with the Alethi years ago.
Child, have you seen your sister? It is her day of first transformation. We need to prepare her.
It is attended to, Mother, Eshonai said to the Rhythm of Peace, kneeling down beside the woman.
How goes the pruning?
I should be finishing soon, Mother said. I need to leave before the people who own this house return.
You own it, Mother.
No, it belongs to two others. They were in the house last night and told me I needed to leave. I'll just finish with this shale bark before I go.
She got out her file, smoothing one side of a ridge, then painting it with sap to encourage growth in that direction.
Eshonai sat back, attuning mourning, and peace left her. Perhaps she should have chosen the Rhythm of the Lost instead. It changed in her head. She forced it back. No, her mother was not dead. She wasn't fully alive, either.
Here, take this, Mother said to Peace, handing Eshonai a file.
At least Mother recognized her today.
Work on that outcropping there. I don't want it to keep growing downward. We need to send it up toward the light.
The storms are too strong on this side of the city.
Storms? Nonsense. No storms here.
Mother paused.
I wonder where we'll be taking your sister. She'll need a storm for her transformation.
Don't worry about that, Mother, Eshonai said, forcing herself to speak to Peace. I will care for it.
You are so good, Venli, Mother said. So helpful. Staying home, not running off like your sister. That girl. She's never where she should be.
She is now, Eshonai whispered. She's trying to be.
Mother hummed to herself, continuing working. Once this woman had one of the best memories in the city. She still did, in a way.
Mother, Eshonai said, I need help. I think something terrible is going to happen. I can't decide if it is less terrible than what is already happening.
Mother filed at a section of shale bark, then blew off the dust.
Our people are crumbling, Eshonai said. We're being weathered away. We moved to Narak and chose a war of attrition. That has meant 6 years with steady losses. People are giving up.
That's not good, Mother said.
But the alternative? Dabbling in things we shouldn't? Things that might bring the eyes of the unmade upon us?
You're not working, Mother said, pointing. Don't be like your sister.
Eshonai placed her hands in her lap.
This wasn't helping. Seeing Mother like this... Mother, Eshonai said to supplication, why did we leave the dark home?
Ah, now that's an old song, Eshonai, Mother said. A dark song, not for a child like you. Why, it's not even your day of first transformation.
I'm old enough, Mother. Please.
Mother blew on her shale bark. Had she forgotten finally this last part of what she had been? Eshonai's heart sank.
Long are the days since we knew the dark home, Mother sang softly to one of the rhythms of remembrance. The last legion, that was our name then. Warriors who had been set to fight in the farthest plains, this place that had once been a nation and was now rubble. Dead was the freedom of most people. The forms unknown were forced upon us. Forms of power, yes, but also forms of obedience. The gods commanded, and we did obey, always, always.
Except for that day, Eshonai said along with her mother. In rhythm.
The day of the storm when the last legion fled, Mother continued in song. Difficult was the path chosen. Warriors touched by the gods, our only choice to seek dullness of mind. A crippling that brought freedom. Mother's calm, sonorous song danced with the wind. As frail as she seemed other times, when she sang the old songs, she seemed herself again. A parent who had at times conflicted with Eshonai, but a parent whom Eshonai had always respected. Daring was the challenge made, Mother sang, when the last legion abandoned thought and power in exchange for freedom. They risked forgetting all, and so songs they composed, 100 stories to tell, to remember. I tell them to you, and you will tell them to your children, until the forms are again discovered. From there, Mother launched into one of the early songs, about how the people would make their home in the ruins of an abandoned kingdom, how they would spread out, act as simple tribes and refugees. It was their plan to remain hidden, or at least ignored. The songs left out so much. The last legion hadn't known how to transform into anything other than dull form and mate form, at least not without the help of the gods. How had they known the other forms were possible? Had these facts originally been recorded in the songs, and then lost over the years, as words changed here and there? Eshonai listened, and though her mother's voice did help her attune peace again, she found herself deeply troubled anyway. She had come here for answers. Once, that would have worked. No longer. Eshonai stood to leave her mother singing. I found some of your things, Mother said, breaking the song. When cleaning today, you should take them. They clutter the home and I will be moving out soon. Eshonai hummed mourning to herself, but went to see just what her mother had discovered. Another pile of rocks, in which she saw child's playthings. Strips of cloth she imagined were clothing. Eshonai found a small sack in front of the building. She opened it to find paper. Paper made from local plants, not human paper. Rough paper with varied color, made after the old listener way. Textured and full, not neat and sterile. The ink on it was beginning to fade, but Eshonai recognized the drawings. My maps, she thought, from those early days. Without meaning to, she attuned remembrance. Days spent hiking across the wilderness of what the humans called Natanatan, passing through forests and jungles, drawing her own maps and expanding the world. She'd started alone, but her discoveries had excited an entire people. Soon, though still in her teenage years, she'd been leading entire expeditions to find new rivers, new ruins, new spren, new plants, and humans. In a way, this was all her fault. Her mother started singing again. Looking through her old maps, Eshonai found a powerful longing within her. Once, she'd seen the world as something fresh and exciting, new, like a blossoming forest after a storm. She was dying slowly, as surely as her people were. She packed up the maps and left her mother's house, walking toward the center of town. Her mother's song, still beautiful, echoed behind her. Eshonai attuned peace. That let her know that she was nearly late for the meeting with the rest of the five. She did not hasten her pace. She let the steady sweeping beats of the rhythm of peace carry her forward. Unless you concentrated on attuning a certain rhythm, your body would naturally choose the one that fit your mood. Therefore, it was always a conscious decision to listen to a rhythm that did not match how you felt. She did this now with peace. The listeners had made a decision centuries ago, a decision that set them back to primitive levels. Choosing to murder Gavilar Kolin had been an act to affirm that decision of their ancestors.
Eshonai had not then been one of their leaders, but they had listened to her counsel and given her the right to vote among them. The choice, horrible though it seemed, had been one of courage. They'd hoped that a long war would bore the Alethi. Eshonai and the others had underestimated Alethi greed. The gem hearts had changed everything. In the center of town, near the pool, was a tall tower that remained proudly erect in defiance of centuries' worth of storms. Once there had been steps within, but Krem leaking in windows had filled the building up with rock, so workers had carved steps running around its outside. Eshonai started up the steps, holding to the chain for safety. It was a long but familiar climb. Though her leg ached, war form had great endurance, though it required more food than any other form to keep it strong. She made it to the top with ease. She found the other members of the five waiting for her, one member wearing each known form. Eshonai for war form, Davim for work form, Abranai for mate form, Chivi for nimble form, and the quiet Zuln for dull form. Venli waited as well with her once-mate, though he was flushed from the difficult climb. Nimble form, though good for many delicate activities, did not have great endurance. Eshonai stepped up onto the flat top of the once tower, wind blowing against her from the east. There were no chairs up here, and the five sat on the bare rock itself. Davim hummed to annoyance. With the rhythms in one's head, it was difficult to be late by accident. They rightly suspected that Eshonai had dallied. She sat on the rock and took the spren-filled gemstone from her pocket, setting it on the ground in front of her. The violet stone glowed with stormlight.
"I'm worried about this test," Eshonai said. "I do not think we should allow it to proceed."
"What?" Venli said to anxiety. "Sister, don't be ridiculous. Our people need this." Davim leaned forward, arms on his knees. He was broad-faced, his work-form skin marbled mostly of black, with tiny swirls of red here and there.
"If this works, it will be an amazing advance. The first of the forms of ancient power rediscovered. These forms are tied to the gods," Eshonai said. "What if in choosing this form we invite them to return?"
Venli hummed irritation. "In the old day, all forms came from the gods. We have found that nimble form does not harm us. Why would storm form?"
"It is different," Eshonai said. "Sing the song. Hum it to yourself. Its coming brings the gods their night. The ancient powers are dangerous."
"Men have them," Abranai said.
He wore mate form, lush and plump, though he controlled its passions. Eshonai had never envied him the position. She knew from private conversations that he would have preferred to have another form. Unfortunately, others who held mate form either did so transiently or did not possess the proper solemnity to join the five.
"You yourself brought us the report, Eshonai," Abranai continued. "You saw a warrior among the Alethi using ancient powers, and many others confirmed it to us. Surge bindings have returned to men. The Spren again betray us."
"If surge bindings are back," Davim said to consideration, "then it might indicate that the gods are returning anyway. If so, we'd best be prepared to deal with them. Forms of power will help with that."
"We don't know they will come," Eshonai said to resolve. "We don't know any of this. Who knows if men even have surge bindings? It might be one of the honor blades. We left one in Alethkar that night."
Chivi hummed to skepticism. Her nimble form face had elongated features, her hair strands tied back in a long tail.
"We are fading as a people. I passed some today who had taken dull form and not to remember our past. They did so because they worried that men would kill them otherwise. They prepare themselves to become slaves.
I saw them too, Davim said to resolve. We must do something, Eshonai. Your soldiers are losing this war, beat by beat.
The next storm, Venli said. She used the rhythm of pleading. I can test this at the next storm.
Eshonai closed her eyes. Pleading. It was a rhythm not often attuned. It was hard to deny her sister in this.
We must be unified in this decision, Davim said. I will accept nothing else. Eshonai, do you insist on objecting? Will we need to spend hours here making this decision?
She took a deep breath, coming to a decision that had been working its way through the back of her mind. The decision of an explorer. She glanced at the sack of maps she'd set on the floor beside her.
I will agree to this test, Eshonai said. Nearby, Venli hummed to appreciation. However, Eshonai continued to resolve. I must be the one who tries the new form first. All humming stopped. The others of the five gaped at her.
What? Venli said. Sister, no. It is my right.
You are too valuable, Eshonai said. You know too much about the forms and much of your research is held only in your head.
I'm simply a soldier. I can be spared if this goes wrong.
You are a shard-bearer, Davim said. Our last.
Thud has trained with my blade and plate, Eshonai said. I will leave both with him just in case.
The others of the five hummed to consideration.
This is a good suggestion, Abranai said. Eshonai has both strength and experience.
It was my discovery, Venli said to irritation.
And you are appreciated for it, Davim said. But Eshonai is right. You and your scholars are too important to our future.
More than that, Abranai added. You are too close to the project, Venli. The way you speak makes that clear. If Eshonai enters the storms and discovers that something is off about this form, she can halt the experiment and return to us.
This is a good compromise, Chivi said, nodding. Are we in agreement?
I believe so, Abranai said, turning towards Zuln.
The representative of the Dullforms rarely spoke. She wore the smock of a parshman, and had indicated that she considered it her duty to represent them, those with no songs, along with any Dullforms among them. Hers was as noble a sacrifice as Abranai holding to mate form. More so. Dullform was a difficult form to suffer, one that only a few ever experienced for longer than a storm pause or so.
I agree to this, Zuln said.
The others hummed to appreciation. Only Venli did not join in the song. If this storm form turned out to be real, would they add another person to the five? At first the five had all been dull forms, then all workers. It was only at the discovery of nimble form that it had been decided that they would have one of each form. A question for later. The others of the five stood up, then began to make their way down the long flight of steps, spiraling around the tower. Wind blew from the east, and Eshonai turned toward it, looking out over the broken plains, toward the origin of storms. During a coming high storm, she would step into the winds and become something new. Something powerful. Something that would change the destiny of the listeners and perhaps the humans forever.
I nearly had cause to hate you, sister, Venli said to reprimand, idling beside where Eshonai sat.
I did not forbid this test, Eshonai said.
Instead you take its glory.
If there is glory to be had, Eshonai said to reprimand, it will be yours for discovering the form. That should not be a consideration. Only our future should matter.
Venli hummed to irritation.
They call you wise, experienced,
It makes one wonder if they've forgotten who you were. That you went off recklessly into the wilds, ignoring your people while I stayed home and memorized songs. When did everyone start believing you were the responsible one?
It's this cursed uniform, Eshenai thought, rising.
Why didn't you tell us what you were researching? You let me believe your studies were to find art form or mediation form. Instead, you were looking for one of the forms of ancient power.
Does that matter?
Yes. It makes all the difference, Venli. I love you, but your ambition frightens me.
You don't trust me, Venli said to Betrayal.
Betrayal?
That was a song rarely sung. It stung enough to make Eshenai wince.
We'll see what this form does, Eshenai said, picking up her maps and the gemstone with the trapped spren. Then we will talk further. I just want to be careful.
You want to do it yourself, Venli said to irritation. You always want to be first. But enough. It is done. Come with me. I will need to train you in the proper mindset to help the form work. Then we will pick a high storm for the transformation.
Eshenai nodded. She would go through this training. In the meantime, she would consider. Perhaps there was another way. If she could get the Alethi to listen to her, find Dalinar Kholin, sue for peace. Perhaps, then, this would not be needed.